first of all, I apologize for being somewhat late today. I promised just recently that I'll try to be on time, and I intend to try to stand up to that promise, but I was out of town, and sometimes traffic in the Yerushalayim area is problematic. So my apologies. I hope this won't be a trend. So we didn't have a shiur for some time, and this week's parasha is Parashas Korach, and most of the mitzvahs that Tuvias Bo'os are Trumas Va'amaisis are in this week's shiur. And bearing in mind that many of you are chutznikim, coming to Eretz Yisrael, I think the mitzvahs of Tuvias Bo'os should have a kibbeh miyuchedes by us, and by people that have come to Eretz Yisrael and have the zchus to be mekayim mitzvahs of Tuvias Bo'os. We all remember the Gemara in Sotah. Moshe Rabbeinu nis'avo lekunes liyeretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillos. His lifelong dream was to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara asked, "V'chi lechon lepeiroseo hoyu tzorich." Lo nis'avo Moshe el lekayim mitzvos atuyos moros. So the topic we will be discussing today is Afroshes Atrumis Mahamaisos. Kol Tumis Akotshu Mashirimu B'nei Yisrael Hashem Nusati Lechobon Avanecho. לחויק אוילם ויואב אל השם אל אהלם ויארצם לא תנחל וחלק לא יהיה לך ובסויך ואני חלק לך ונחלס לו בתוך בני ישראל ולבני לוי ינאי נוסעתי כל מעשה בישראל לנחל לא חלק ובידוסו מה שלם אוהבים את אבוידס אוהל מוהד. So in this week's parasha we learn the various different mitzvahs of Matnas Korach on one hand, Matnas Leviyah on the other. And all the Tzumas and Maisis are a combination of Lecha Oire, two different mitzvahs. Stage number one is the Esam HaFrosha. From the produce of the field, one has to take off. Part of it goes to the Kohen and Tzumah Gedoyle, then Maaser Rishon. 10% goes to the Levi. The Levi take off 10% of what they receive, and they pass that on to the Kohenim. And then we have Maaser Oni and Maaser Sheni. So number one is the HaFrosha. But the Afrosha is only stage number one. After the Afrosha, we have to give over those Tumas and Maisis to those that are entitled ultimately to receive and have benefit from the Tumas and Maisis, which is Tumas Gedoyle and Tumas Maisar, that go to Koyanim, Maaser Rishon, that go to the Leviim. Are we dealing with two different mitzvahs or one mitzvah? That is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. In Shoresh Yud Beis Sefer HaMitzvos, as we all know, Sefer HaMitzvos has a lengthy introduction, and it is one of those forms of which the introduction is far bigger in volume than the Sefer itself. Sefer HaMitzvos is far smaller than the Yud Dalet Shloshim, in which the Rambam elaborates his basic approach to the Taryag Mitzvos Shevetoyah, how Taryag are defined, what are the rules. So in Shoresh Yud Beis, of the Shoshe HaGdoma, which are 14, Keneged Yud Dalet Sifrei Rambam B'Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam explains that many times, not every tzivui is defined as a mitzvah into itself. And there are mitzvahs which include many components and many parts. And the Rambam gives several examples. HaKorban, various different korbonos, HaChatos, HaOshom, HaShlomim, each one of these korbanos has many different parts. Dalet avoides amatir. If any of you learned kachin, you're aware that the most important avoides that are ma'akev, the korban of dalet avoides adami, also defined as dalet avoides amatir. Shrita, kabbalah, hoylocha, zrika. Is each and every one of these defined as a mitzvah in itself? No. Korban chatas is one mitzvah, including shrita, kabbalah, hoylocha, zrika, korban zaymerim. And another example that Rambam gives is Afroshes Trumas HaMaisis, a minyan HaMitzvahs and Taryag. The Rambam counts Truma Gedoyle as one mitzvah, Maaser Rishon another mitzvah, Trumas Maaser another mitzvah. However, the Afrosha and the Nesina are not defined as two different mitzvahs, but rather two components, two parts of one mitzvah. Truma Gedoyle is Afroshes Truma Gedoyle and Nesina LeKoyen. The same applies to Maaser Rishon, HaFrosha v'Nesina LeLevi. And the Levi that gets Maaser Rishon, he has the mitzvah of HaFrosha of Tumas Maaser and transferring that Tumas Maaser to the Kohen. So Afrosh and Asina, according to the Rambam's opinion, are defined as one mitzvah. The Ramban has a different opinion, and the Ramban says, Afrosh alahud, Nesina alahud. And one of the arguments of the Ramban is, if Afrosh and Asina would be one mitzvah, then obviously Nesina would be ma'akev b'hafrosh. And we would have to maintain that when a person is a mafrish plumis a maisis, the iser tevel is still relevant. And what takes away the iser tevel is the entirety of the mitzvah. So if a flush of nasina would be one mitzvah that has two parts, why would we say nasina is not ma'akev a flush? Nasina would be ma'akev. And therefore, until you are not mekadimis of nasina, still would be tevel. Well, if that would be the halacha, we would have a tremendous problem, because the meaning today is that we don't give tlum al koyin. Neither do we give masa rishon b'levi. So, what worth does that frosha have? So this is one of the assertions from which the Ramban proves his point that a frosha and a sinah are two different mitzvahs. So even if you don't give the various matonas to koyin and to levi, the frosha was mekurim in its entirety, and therefore there is no longer any yisof tevel. So some of the commentators of the Rambam say, yes, according to the opinion of the Rambam, as long as you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of nesina, it is still tevel. But that is unreasonable, unacceptable, because the implication for us would be that there is no way to consume, to eat peres el tzitzor, because if you aren't mekayim the mitzvah of nesina, then you still have an Isra of Tevel. And in the continuation of this year, today, we will briefly discuss why don't we give Tumma Lekoyen, why don't we give Masa Rishon Lelevi. But the fact is that we do not. So one must reason that even according to the Rambam, that Afrosha and Asin are one mitzvah, they're not ma'akev one another, because essentially they are two different parts. And Asina has nothing to do with the Isra of Tevel. As long as one is mafresh, and the mashmos of afrosha means that what you took off is kedushas truma, that means that all the rest is no longer tevel. It is impossible that part of the pravus is truma and the other part is tevel. The basic definition of tevel is peris, from which we still did not take off truma. So even if Afrosha and Nesina are one mitzvah, Nesina is not necessarily ma'akir the Afrosha. And we have many examples, similar examples. The most common one is Hatcheles Valoven. In Mitzvah Tzitzis we have two components, two parts, Hatcheles Valoven, and Afro Piken, it's a mission for Reshes and Malachas that are Tcheles and Miyakibis Valoven. Even though Tcheles is Menatoy and Tcheles Valoven are two components, two parts of Mitzvah Tzitzis, but the basic is that tzitzis and tcheles is only an addition, it's not ma'akev. In a similar way, we must say that even if the opinion of the Rambam is afrosh and nesina are essentially one mitzvah, that doesn't necessarily mean that nesina is ma'akev the afrosh. And what takes away the yisur of tevel is the afrosh in itself, even though the nesina is part of the same mitzvah. An interesting comment we find in the Lashonis of the Rambam. But maybe before mentioning the Lashonis of the Rambam, another very basic question regarding Afrosha and Nesina. How do we define the mitzvah of Nesina? Does that rest upon the person that is the balabais of the Pelis? He is the proper owner of the Pelis, and he is the one that was a mafresh. Does he have to give, actually give? Does he have to seek out the koyin and the levi? It is his responsibility to see to it that the tum and the maaser reach their final destination, the koyin and the levi? Or is it merely a din and mumminess? The koyin and the levi, they're the ones that have to reach out, and they're the ones that have to knock on my door and take what is properly theirs. Maybe the nesin is not even defined as a mitzvah saseh, but rather as a din. And the Torah designates Truma Lekoyen, Masa Rishon Lelevi, but it is not my responsibility to give that over to the Kohen and Levi. Well, it's theirs, and they're the ones that should be coming to my door and asking to receive. semaisis. The Mesivis and Semeraishim and Gemal Sif Kot Nechesa argues that there is no mitzvah nesina regarding Tumas Amaisis. It is basically a din. It belongs to the Kohen, it belongs to the Levi. And that would be an additional explanation, maybe explaining the Rambam's opinion, nesina isn't ma'akev. Because nesina actually isn't defined as a mitzvah in the classical sense. It doesn't rest upon the Bailim to give over. It is merely, this is Peiris that are designated for the Kohen. The Kohen and the Levi are entitled to take what is their proper share, but it is not a mitzvah that rests upon the Asur to actually supply those Peiris. And that is a machloikus between two Gedolim going back 200 years, that were actually very close friends. The Nesivis on one hand, Choshevish Potresh Gemosif Kornchev says, there is actually no mitzvah resting on the Yisrael to give over the Pratis of the Kohen. The Kohen and the Levi are entitled, Boim the Yitlu Es Shemahem. The base of Rayim, primarily in Agos Yad of Rayim, Shechon Och, Yoredes in the Samachal, Yoredes in the Samachal, is the din of Matis Koda. And the base of Rayim says, no, the mitzvah of Nasina Kishmoy Keidu, there is a mitzvah of giving over to the Kohen and to the Levi, and that is the responsibility of the Baal HaPeiris. There's a very famous shaila the Rashba deals with. Why don't we say a brocha on Nesinas Matnas Kohen Elokoyen Velalei? We did say a brocha on the Afrosha, but there is no brocha on the Nesina. Obviously, this kasha is relevant in accordance to the Ramban, and it obviously proves that the opinion of the Rashba is similar to the opinion of the Ramban. Because according to the Rambam, that Afrosha and Nesina are essentially one mitzvah, we do not find two brochas on one mitzvah. Even Akrovas Karbonas, you know, we don't do Karbonas today, but it's Mefurash and Rambam that the Kohen is Makar Bakormi says a brocha. So there is no special brocha on the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. There is one brocha on the different avoidance of each and every Korban. So according to the Rambam, if Afrosha and Nesina are one mitzvah, well, we wouldn't expect to have two different brochas. And the reason we say lahafrish tumas amaisis is because that is the beginning of the mitzvah. What comes next is the natural continuation. So therefore we say the brocha lahafrish tumas amaisis, but the same brocha applies to the entire process because it's one mitzvah. However, according to the Ramban, if we're dealing with two different mitzvahs, why wouldn't there be two different brochas? And why wouldn't we say a brocha on Nesinas, Matnas Kehenna Velaviyah to the Kohen and the Levi? So everybody quotes Tshuvas HaRashba Chelek Alef Siman Yud Ches, and the Rashba says a very basic idea with which he explains a similar question dealing with many mitzvahs. There is no brocha on mitzvahs Shebein Olam Rochaveiroi. There is no brocha on the many monetary mitzvahs we have. We say a brocha on the tefillin, on the tzitzis, on the matzah, on the moror, on the sukkah, and the lulav. The common denominator of all these mitzvahs is they're all ben odom lamokoyim. But when we're dealing with mamonis and with mitzvahs sheben odom lachaveiro, never do we find a mitzvah. And the Rashbi uses that same explanation. Why don't we say a brocha on tzedakah, on gemilas chasodim, on many other mitzvahs, on kibud av ve'ein, many mitzvahs. So the basic argument of the Rashba is mitzvah shebenodam chaveira, there is no brocha. And we find the basic idea in the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph and Hilchas Brocha. So the Rambam doesn't make a fuss over it, but the Rambam does say that all the brochas shebenodam lamokoyim require, all the mitzvah shebenodam lamokoyim require a brocha. And the Noisekelim of the Rambam point out that the Rambam emphasizes the mitzvah shebenodam lamokoyim. However, the Rashba deals with the same question in an additional source, and that is Tshuvas HaRashba HaMiyuchosus LeRamban Siman Kuf Peites. This is a strange set of tshuvas. So many generations ago, Gedolim and many others were in doubt whether these tshuvas are from the Rashba or the Ramban. And it was a matter of confusion and controversy, but today we know beyond doubt that these are Tshuvas HaRashba. And that has been proven in many ways. That HaRashba quotes what he himself writes in many different places in these Tshuvas. Anyway, Tshuvas HaMiyuchosus, Siman Kuf Peites. The Rashi deals with this very same question. Why don't we say a bracha on a sinus to Malakoyim? And the Rashi says, there is no bracha because al shulchan gevoya hem oichlim, umalachmoy hem oichlim, and therefore there is no bracha. So what is the explanation in the Rambam? I think in the Rashi, I think this Rashi is similar to the Nasidus. This is theirs, and they come and take their own, and therefore it's not actually a mitzvah to say resting upon me to go out of my way and to give them their chumash. It is similar, like Dinei Shomerim. If I'm a Shomer and somebody asks me to keep his pekodim, I don't have a mitzvah to give back the pekodim. I must enable the proper owner to come and fetch what is properly his. That can be defined as a mitzvah to say. So what the Rashi says is, al shulchan gavoya hem yoishim, umalach moy hem oichlem, and therefore, this is not defined as a mitzvah to say, which requires a brocha. I think that is the understanding of the Rashi, which would prove, which would be a base after the shitta of the Nasidus, that it is not, actually not a mitzvah to say. Which brings us to a very interesting discussion I wrote at great length in Minchas Asher, Chumash Bamidbar, on this week's Parsha, Semen Lamed Zayin, dealing with a very basic question. Matnas Kahuna, Matnas Leviya, are they the same by nature? So we started today's Shiur with Psukim of the weekly Parsha. Psukim, which in my opinion are extremely interesting, and many Gedolim did not realize the tremendous chiddush that we have in these psukim. So this week's parasha deals with Matnas Kohuna and Matnas Leviya. So maybe before going to Chumash, we'll discuss the Tzoyis HaChoshen and Reish Mem Gimel Siv Kotten Dalet. Tzoyis HaChoshen brings the question of the Pri Chodesh. How do we give Matnas Kohuna and Leviya for a Kohen Kotten, a minor? A Kotten doesn't have Kinyan al Pi Halacha. He cannot perform a kinya. So how do we give Matnas Kohuna v'Leviya to Koyanim Ketanim? And it is before Shasugyas and Shas, primarily Zvokim Dachmet, Tzadik Tes, on which we see that you could give Matnas Kohuna for a Kotten, but a Kotten doesn't have kinya. So the Tzayis HaChoshen bases his argument on a Tosfos on Ederim Daf Samaches. When the Gemara deals with the question whether a Kotten could own property, Tosfos asks, what if a Kotten cannot purchase? He cannot perform a transaction. How would he own property? Tosfos says two different ways. By inheritance, because Dini Yerusha are held for a Kotten as well. When you are Noichal Nachalo, you don't have to do a Kinyan. It is Memela. The other way a Kotten could own is Tzchar Avidosoi. When he works, and he was promised compensation for his work, even a Kotten could be Kaina, payment for his toil. That is a Chiddush of Tosfos and Sanchez. So the Tzoyis HaChoshen says, Matnas Kehen and Matnas Leviya, the Pasuk says, V'levnei Levi hinu nusati kol masa v'yisroel en nachalo, chelef avidosa masher emoiv dimis avoidis oy el mayev. So the Pasuk makes it very clear. They deserve to be paid for the avoida that they do in the oy el mayev. And the metonis they are entitled to receive is chelef avidosa masher and oiv them as avoid the soil moyer. That is compensation. That is being paid for the service they supply for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even Ketanim could be koina Matnas Kehuna v'Leviya. That is the Tzoyis HaChoshen Reish Mem Gimel Siv Kotten Ches. But when we learn this psukim, it seems to be obvious that this rule applies only to Matnas Leviya and not to Matnas Kehuna. Because the Pasuk says before, Kol Tumas HaKodshim Asher Yorimu B'nei Yisroel להשם, נוסעתי לחור ולבנךו ולבנסךו, איתכו לבוקו אלא בזמלך. לחו ולזרחו איתו. ויואב אל השם על הארון ביארצם לא תנחל, חלק לא יואב לחו בקירך בסויכו. אני חלקךו ונחלוסךו בתויך בני ישראל. כהנים are not compensated by כלל ישראל. כהנים are compensated by הקודש בו. אני חלקךו ונחלוסךו. ולבני לוי, הנה נשאתי כל מעשה בישראל לנחלו. כהנים, אני נחלסתו. It is not the נחל that בני ישראל pay. Because regarding כהנים, and only regarding avodas כהנים, we find a concept in different places in Shas, שלוחי דרחמונהם, דלוי אמנת שלוחי דרחמונהם. And I think by the very essence, there is a difference between Avodas HaLeviim and Avodas HaKoyanim. The Avodas HaKoyanim is HaKlovis HaKorobonois. The sacrifices are brought for HaKodesh Bohu. And the Ramban says in Parshas Vayikro, Korobonois are a Tzorech Gavoya. We do not understand what Korobonois are about. But the Ramban says Tzorech Gavoya. And therefore regarding Matnas Kehuna, the Pusik doesn't say Cheref Avedosa. The Pusik doesn't say that the Leviim, that the Nachlo of the Leviim are the Matonas. Ani Chelkacho v'Nachlasto. And for the Koyanim, HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives them Truma. We give the Truma to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It is not we, not Klal Yisrael, that pays the Koyanim for their service. Their service is Tzorech Gevoya. They are Shluchi D'Rachmona. They are compensated by a Kodesh Baruch. Ulevnei Levi, hina nusati kol masa v'yisrael chelef avedosam. What is the service of the Leviim? Just a supplementary role. Shoyarim, they open the Sheorim, they close the Sheorim. Shir, they sing and play music. They clean up the place. They are supplementary services. They are doing the shlichus of the entire people. They are shluchei didan. By the Leviim, we do not find the concept of shluchei derachmona. And therefore, my opinion is that chelev avedosam is found only by the Leviim and not by koyanim. Which brings us to a very interesting argument between the Oroz Aruah and the Dark Emotion, Or Chaim Semenun Gimel. Semenun Gimel and Or Chaim is dinei shliach tzibur. So the Oroz Aruah says that if you have a chazan, he deserves to be paid. Because the chazan is similar to a kohen. Tfilos, tachos, karbonos, tikkunim. The three prayers that we daven every day are keneged tumas shel shachar, tumas shel bein urbayim, and a krovis u'evarim by night. So the chazan, in a way, is like a kohen. And a kohen was compensated for his service, chelev avedosam. So it is fitting to pay the chazan. That is the Oroz Aruah. And the Dark Moshe says, no, it's a mistake. Koyanim were not paid. Chelef Avedosam is said only to Leviim. And the Chazan is not like a lady. The Chazan is like a Koyan, because the Tfilis are like Korbonis. So the Dark Moshe says, a Chazan doesn't deserve compensation, but you should give him Adonis. You should give him Adonis. Well, give him a good bottle of wine once in a while, or a nice vase, you know, send him flowers, give him a donis. So this is a very interesting machlokes. The Oroz Aruah says, well, koyanim, chelef avedosam, a chazan is like a koyan, he deserves to get paid. The Dark Moshe says, no, chelef avedosam is only for Leviim, and not for koyanim. So the Dark Moshe makes this point. And the Tzoyis HaKoshen obviously wasn't aware of what might be a basic distinction between Koyanim and Leviim. So Mincha Sosha Bavidas and Alam Zayin, they brought many sources of Kaam Rukhan, many sources to substantiate the approach of the Tzai Zachoshin, and other sources, which to me seems to be more Hashte Dekro, the Mishmos of the Psukim, differentiating between Koyanim and Leviim. And it is only regarding the Leviim, that the Leviim do service for us, and therefore we are the ones that pay. Which brings me to a very interesting diuk in the Rambam. So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Sonnos, and I explained many times, the Rambam three times in his magnificent Sefer, Sforim, goes over Tarya Mitzvah Shilichoyim, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, many an HaMitzvahs, which is an integral part of the Sefer of the Yad HaChazaka of the Mishneh Torah, and the Mishneh Torah, before each and every koivitz of halachas, the Rambam writes Protei HaMitzvahs, which are the mitzvahs of the Taryag that are elaborated in this sefer. So we have a very interesting deal. At the very beginning of Hilchos Tzumos, the Rambam writes Yesh Becholon Shmona Mitzvah, Shtayim Mitzvahs Asay, Shesh Mitzvahs Lo Tasa, Vezeh Proton. Number one, Aleph. Lahafresh Trume Gedoyla. Beis, Lahafresh Trumas Maiso. He doesn't mention Nesina. However, in Hilchos Maiso, which comes right after Hilchos Trumas, Hilchos Maiso, Mitzvahs Ase Achat. Vehi, Lahafresh Maserishin, Veliknoi Lalevim. So, why is it that by Maiso, the Rambam writes, Lahafresh Maserishin Veliknoi Lalevim. By Truma, by Tunis Maisa and Hilchos Tzumos, he doesn't mention Nesina. Lahafresh Truma Gedoyla, Lahafresh Tunis Maisa. Why? To me, it is clear. There's got to be a Kavona. This is not coincidental. The way we learn the Rambam, this needs a perish. So, according to my understanding, differentiating between Matnas Kin and Matnas Levia. Regarding Matnas Kohen, I think the Nesivis is right. It's a monetary issue. You know, this is theirs. Who gave it to them? A Kodesh Bor. So let them come by and take what they rightfully deserve. It is not we that are paying the Koyami. All we have to do is afrosh. And when we are mafresh, we don't give to the Koyami. We give to a Kodesh Bor. Let him decide what he wants to do with his truma. And he has already decided. By Har Sinai, he decided. So the truma belongs to the Kohen. So let the Kohen come and fetch what is rightfully his. And therefore, that is not a mitzvah asay. Regarding Maisa, I think the Beis Ephraim is right. Because Maisa, we are the ones to pay the Levim Chelef Avidosa. So when you have a Pekodoyim, you don't have to go out of your way to give it to the proper owner. He is the one that has to come and fetch whatever is his. But when you need to pay a worker, you are the one that are responsible to pay him. And therefore, Maisa the Chelef Avidoso. By Maisa the Rabbi writes, Lahafresh Velitnoi Lelevim. Not so by Truma or by Truma's Maisa. Which substantiates my argument. There's a basic difference between Truma and Maisa. So neither the Nesivis on one hand, nor the Beis Ephraim on the other hand, differentiated between Truma and Maisa. And both feel they are the same. So according to the Nesivis, neither Truma nor Maisa, there is no mitzvah to say to actively engage in giving to the Kohen. Regarding both Truma and both Maisa, according to the Nesivis, let the Kohen and the Levim come by and take whatever they deserve. According to the Beis Ephraim, regarding both Truma and Maisa, and Trumas Maisa. No. The one that is mafresh, he is the one that bears ultimate responsibility to give it over to the coin. And you have to look at that coin and that label. And you are the ones that have to take it over to them. In my opinion, based on the Rambam, there's a difference between Truma on one hand, Matnas Kun on one hand, and Matnas Levia on the other. So the Rashba obviously also does not differentiate between Matnas Kohen and Matnas Levia. Because the question of the Rashba, why don't we say a Baruch HaNesina? And that question is relevant Bein B'Truma or Bein B'Maisa. And his response is the same for both of them. Al Shulchan Gevoyehem Yoshem. And therefore, it is not my mitzvah to give. So the Rashba coincides with the Nesivis. Lule Devorah, we would say there's a difference between Truma and Maisa, as I explained. Why don't we give Truma Bizman Hazel Kayim? Which brings us to several interesting questions. Kohenim cannot eat Truma Bizman Hazel because it's an Issa D'oraisa to eat Truma the Truma Sagol. And we are all Becheskes Tmei Meis. Why are we Becheskes Tmei Meis? In our day and age, most people are born in hospitals. And a baby spends a few days in a hospital. So we could assume that that baby, before he even opens his eyes and before he's aware of anything happening with him, was already exposed to Tumas Meis, being in a hospital for a few days. And along the way, especially in Eretz Yisrael, we assume this land is full of kibbutz, and it is impossible to really steer clear from Tumas Meis. Nevertheless, Kayanim are mechuyev and are obliged to try not to expose themselves to the tumah, because it is either a d'oraisa or the rabbanan, and even a kohen that is already tumei meis has an issa to expose himself to tumah once again. But essentially, we are all becheskes tumah, so a kohen cannot eat tumah. Neither Tumah Tahira nor Tumah Tameya. Tumah Tameya is designated for Sreifa. Actually, Shemen, Tumah Tameya, is defined by Chazal, Shemen Sreifa, Beresh Perik Beis the Masechet Shabbos. So Tumah Tameya is oimid l'Sreifa, has to be burned. But the Kohen is entitled to have benefit from burning Tumah Tameya. He could throw the Tumah Tameya into his fireplace. He could use it to cook, he could use it to bake, he could use it to warm his house. V'ani natati lechem es mishmeres trumosai. Trumosai is echad, is a Russian rabbin, echad trumatoyra, echad trumatoyra. And Chazal teach us, just like trumatoyra, the kohen is entitled to consume, to eat, he is entitled to take advantage and benefit out of trumatoyra. It's also v'achila. But he could cook, he could warm his house, he could take benefit out of burning Tumah Tameya. There's a machlokes rishonim beis daf chav zayin. When Chazal say Tumah Tameya is oimid l'sreifa, does it necessarily mean sreifa exclusively, or just comes to exclude achila? Could you feed animals with Tumah Tameya? Kinyan kaspay hu yoichal v'nachmoy. A kohen is entitled to feed his animals that are his possession with Machal Baema, and Machal Baema's Chayla Tumas Amaisos. How about Tumah Tameya? That's a Machloikis Rishonim of Beit Zachot Zayin. And the Chazanish Paskins Lamaisa, Perek Zayin, Ois Yud Gimel Avulchas Maisos, that we should be choishish to the opinion of the Rishonim, that Tumah Tameya is designated only the slaver, and you cannot feed animals from Tumah Tameya. How about Tumah Tameya? Tumah Tameya is Manaseh. When a kohen cannot eat Tumah Tahira, would we say, if we cannot eat Tumah Tahira, then let it be Machal Baema? Could we feed Tumah Tahira to animals that belong to a kohen? Tumah Tameya, some Rishonim maintain, Dino B'Sreifa, but Tumah Tahira is Dino B'Achila. So would we leave Tumah Tahira to rot? Or could we feed behemoths Tumah Tahira? This is a question the Chazanish deals with, and the Chazanish is Mekel. Some others are Machmir. The minig in our time, that is exactly what we do with Tumah Gedoyla. Now, Tumah Gedoyla is not a problem, because Chiduachas Poteres is a creed. Tumah Gedoyla has no Shia. But the big problem in our day and age is Tumas Maisa. Because Tumas Maisa is 1% of the produce. And that is huge. That is huge. You can just imagine what 1% is. 10% of the entire palace of Eretz Yisrael is Maisa Rishon. Maisa Rishon Muta Lazav. Belongs to the lady. But it's Muta Lazav. Maisa Rishon, anybody could eat. But 10% of the Maiserishon is Tumas Maiser. And that is a huge volume of the year. So what we do in Eretz Yisrael today is, there are many farms that have animals. So we sell those animals to a kohen, something like mechiras chametz. And then we feed. We feed the vast quantity of chametz ma'isa, which is 1% of the produce of Eretz Yisrael. We feed it to the animals under the assumption that those animals belong to a kohen, because the kohen bought all those cattle and goats and oxen, and if they belong to the kohen kinyan kaspei who yoichal v'lat moi, that is the common meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Is one mechuyav to give tzuma to a kohen bisman hazeh? Is that a chiyuv? So the reason we feed that prowess to Behemoth Koyan is, I mean, we want to take advantage of it's a vast quantity of breed. But by halachic definition, are we mechuyev to give tzoma for a kohen? So the big question is, what about cheskes kohanim b'zman hazeh? And this is a major discussion of Gedolei Yisrael going back 500 years. Shuvas Marashdam 500 years ago, Rabbi Yankov Emden 300 years ago, they are the two halachic giants that maintain Cheskes Kohanim today is extremely questionable in their opinion. So, Chazokah is one of the basic halachas. So, Masha Huchzak Huchzak. But dealing with Mammonis, and we have no substantiated kohanim b'zman hazeh after thousands of years in galus, and therefore a person isn't mechuyev to give his matnas kohanim b'leviyah to the kohen or the lady. This is a stira b'divrei HaRamah. Shin Lamed Aleph, dealing with tumas ha'maaseh in Yeridei Sif Yutes, the Ramah says, b'zman hazeh, one is mechuyev to give tumah l'kohen and maaseh rishon l'levi. However, in Or HaChaim Tov Nun Zayin, in Hilchos Pesach, when you're dealing with Afroshes Challah, the Ramah brings a Yeshayim that we don't give Challah l'kohen because there aren't any kohanim muhzokim b'zman hazeh. They're all sofek kohanim, and ha'moitzim chaveiroi all of Harayim. The base of Raim is one of those Gedolim following in the footsteps of the Marashdam Rabbi Yankov Emden. And he says that Kohanim b'zman hazeh is questionable. And that is the reason we do not give Matnas Kohanim l'kohanim and Maaseh Rishon l'levi. And the base of Raim goes to the extreme trying to explain that is why we don't have Nesias Kapayim and Chutz Haaretz only in Yom Tov. Because of the suffix of Kohen. Which is strange, because so why Yom Tov? Yes. And if it's a suffix, how would the Kohen make a broch?
And that's Sephardim.
Suffix brochas lekulam.
Sephardim and Chutzaretz do Kohen.
Yes, so Sephardim do say brochas kahak, brochas Kohen, and they do Kohen in Chutzaretz. But even Ashkenazim that don't, if the reason would be that their Kohen is questionable, so why do they do it on Yom Tov? How would they say a broch on Yom Tov? And everybody says a broch on Pidyon Abed. So if there would be any level of doubt, so the broch is lahokam. So how do we say a broch on Pidyon Abed? So obviously that is a very strange and far-fetched assumption. The Chazon Ish, in various different places, deals with this issue, and a shvius, hey, I see the base, the Chazon Ish says, the Dominican our day and age, that the Kohanim usually give back the money, but Pidyon Aben is also based on the question of Cheskes Kohanim. And I think that is strange. I don't think Kohanim are mechuyev to give back the money. If they do, I don't know why they do. I think a Kohen is definitely entitled to keep the Chamishas Lohanim there. So, I wrote in many tshuvas, Cheskes Kohanim b'zman hazeh is a chazokah gemura. Otherwise, we wouldn't say a broch on Pidyon Aben. Otherwise, we wouldn't say a broch on Berachas Kohanim. So that cannot be the reason why we don't give Chlamys and Mysis Bizimai Anzalkit. Mysorishin is a very, very interesting Chazonish. The Chazonish argues in Hilchos Maaser, Perek Zayin, that it is as if a takona not to give Maaserishin lelevi, kedei shelo yislabu haramoyim. It would be an assoyin for people, put them in assoyin, and maybe people would say, I am a lady, even though he is not a lady. So what will happen? Mele kahuna, you know, kahuna has many questions of a bracha levatona. The only problem that might be if a person would get into a set that he's a lady and he's not a lady is his abstaining from pinyin laben. But a lady doesn't make any brachas. He does. He's not oyel aduchin. So what is the mitzvah that he's going to wash the hands of the kohen? What is the greatest mitzvah that could be if people would say they're levim? And where did the Chazanish pick this up? The Chazanish says it's a takana shelo yislabu haramoim, and that is why we don't give maaserishin levi bizman hazeh. I think the more reasonable explanation why we don't give maaserishin levi bizman hazeh would actually be: most people, if they are mafresh tumas amaisis, it is a small quantity. And I have a lemon tree in my chotzer, and I'm very happy to have that tree, and I have the opportunity to be mafresh tumas amaisis with a broch. So once in a few weeks, I have a third of a lemon. It's my solution. I don't feel comfortable calling my neighbor a lady and saying I have a matona for you or giving him a piece of lemon. So I think that Leviim are moichel, what most of us could give them. But the basic recommendation regarding Matnas Leviim, Matnas Kohanim, and primarily Matnas Aniyim, because the question of regarding Matnas Aniyim is a far more powerful question than regarding Matnas Kohanim, Matnas Leviim. Matnas Kohanim, Matnas Leviim, one could argue, we don't really have Kehalim and Aniyim without doubt. We have a lot of Aniyim without doubt. We would have no problem finding Kushara Aniyim. So why don't we give Masel Oni? So once again, if you have a lemon tree in your yard, you don't feel comfortable calling an Oni to give him a third or a piece or a tenth of a lemon. But when we're dealing with these big farms and tenuva, once again, Maseroni is 10% of the produce. That is far more than Tumas Maisa. So what is actually done is these big organizations have an agreement with one of the Chesed organizations, whether it's Yad Eliezer or another organization that cares for Aniyim, and once in a while they give a donation, and they subtract from that donation the Maaser Oni, and there is some agreement with an organization, and that is how they are mekayem the mitzvah of Maaser Oni. But never do they give 10% of the produce for Aniyim. Well, that would be amazing. That would be Maaser. But no farm gives 10% of its produce for Aniyim. So the organization, which defined itself as Yad Aniyim, as representing Aniyim, doesn't have much of an option. So she agrees to get, you know, 500 shekel once a month and once at a time, and she foregoes her schus as if selling in the name of the Aniyim or the Maaseroni for a donation. It's a problematic compromise, but by basic halachic definition, it probably is bad. But nevertheless, as I explained at the beginning of today's shiur, nevertheless, it doesn't affect the question of tevel. Because to remove the chashash of tevel, hafrosha is sufficient, and a sina is merely a mitzvah b'fnei atzmoi, It is not ma'akev in tikkun ha'pri. So the instead of tevel is enel by the mere act of afroshes from esamaisis, and the nesina is a mitzvah into itself, and it does not affect the isra of tevel. That is a totally different subject.
Is there a sign to be makneh to an ani all the produce and buy it back from him at a discounted price? Is there validity?
Yeah, that is actually what is done, but it's a very complicated mechanism. Why is it complicated? Because you have a chiyuv when you mafresh maserani. By basic halachic definition, that fruit is supposed to get to the aniyah. On the other hand, similar to our previous discussion regarding ma'askina v'laviyah, do we have to reach out to aniyim and see to it that maserani is taken to their homes? Or is it mischalik begoyden? So Tosfos says maseroni is mischalik begoyden. The aniyim are the ones to come and take their place. So would the aniyim come to the farms, to the masanim of Tnuva, and would they come with salim and ask for maseroni? They won't. So therefore, the big gufi mischari, like Tnuva or the other organizations that disperse the fruit and the vegetables throughout the land. It is, they give a halavah, a loan to Yad Eliezer, and they are mikazez, they subtract from the sum of the loan, the maaser. Because if you pay once in 3 months, that wouldn't be sufficient. You cannot buy pre that is no longer existent. And as long as you didn't buy that tree, it belongs to the oni. So how can you eat? That would be considered getting. But if you gave a loan in advance, you are entitled against that loan to take the pre for yourself or sell it. So that is actually the mechanism, the methodology. That is what is done in Eretz Yisrael regarding Maaseroni. So the layman usually isn't aware of all that because we know, you know, you go to the shop and you buy payas, lachafroshas, tumas, and maises, but these issues are somewhat complicated as we try to explain today. So starting off today's shiur, we dealt with the basic hagdolas and basic definitions, the relationship between afrosha and nesina, the two mitzvahs or one nesina. How do we define the mitzvah of nesina? Is it actually a mitzvah to give, or it's basically a din of dina momenes? Coming back to the question that Tzoyis HaKoshin deals with, how could one give Tumas and Mises for time if they can't make a kinyan? So the Tzoyis HaKoshin comes up with this great idea. It's like compensation, according to Tzoyis. But I argued that is relevant only by Matnas Lavia, Chela Pavidos, and not by Matnas Kohen. So my approach and my interpretation would be a different one. There is a concept of Momon HaShevet that we find many times in Shas. And what I learned from the Rambam, Hilchas Tumis Perek Tes Halacha Tes, and this is halacha unknown to many, for the simple reason, doesn't appear in Shas, neither Bavli nor Yerushalmi. So very few people learn the Rambam as a source into itself. And this halacha doesn't appear either in Bavli or Yerushalmi, but the Rambam takes it directly from the Tosef, and this price is important for all in Shas. The Rambam writes, Peri tes halacha tes avil chesunas. Peroson shel Yisrael sheyalda b'chor. Ebchor was born in the possession of Yisrael. Machiloi truma shabchor lekoyanim v'oitzer odem karshinoi truma letoich shabchoi. So if a b'chor is born by a person that's not a koyan, he could feed that calf from his trumas. Why? That calf belongs to Shevet HaKohanim, and therefore that calf is entitled to eat truma. What we learn from this Rambam, that the concept of Momen HaShevet is a Kinyan Gomor it is not only a schus or a shiur, because this little calf wasn't given to any specific goyim. It is still in the basic possession of the owner of the calf. It is still in his chotzer, in his possession. But it is already defined as kinyan kaspoy hu yoichel balachboy. What we learn from this Rambam and this Tosefta is matnas kohanim, even before they were dispersed and given to given specific koyanim, they already belong to Maman HaShevet. And therefore, in my opinion, the act of Nesina, when we give Trumas HaMaisus to the Kohen and the Levi, that is not Haknoa. Even before we gave those Trumas HaMaisus, they already belong to Shevet the Kohenim. What we do is actually just choose who will represent Shevet the Kohenim regarding this specific Truma. It is only a biru. But Aschut HaKinyanit, monetary possession of this Bechor, it already belongs to Shevet HaKohanim. Momen HaShevet is not only a general idea, it is Momen HaShevet Mamish. And that is from the moment of Hafrosh. And therefore the Nesir is essentially not HaKanoa. And the recipient doesn't have to make a Kinyan. The recipient of the Trumas HaMaisus does not have to make a Kinyan. It is an act which only defines who is the kohen that is entitled to represent the entire shevet regarding these tumas and maisos. And therefore no kinyan is needed, and you can give tumas and maisos even to a kohen kol. That would be my understanding based on this tremendous chiddush that we learn in this Rambam Perek Tes, Halacha Tes of Hilchos. So we dealt with one of the very special and choshev mitzvahs in this week's parsha. Mitzvahs atluyas v'oretz, the general mitzvah of Trumas HaMaisus, but one cannot go through Parshas Kodesh without relating to what Parshas Kodesh is all about. Parshas Kodesh is the parsha about machloikas. And it was the first major machloikas in Klal Yisrael, the first major rift which almost tore the people apart. And Korach and many of the elders of the community, and according to Rashi and Medrash HaChazal, some of them were great scholars, leaders of the Sanhedrin, and they stood up against Moshe Ba'ar. And Rashi says, when the children perish, Kamakusha Anshur Shal Machloikis, Beis Din Shalmana doesn't punish until a person is 20 years of age. Beis Din Shalmata doesn't deal judgment until a person is 13 years of age. Baboina Machloikas Dapat Gavnispin. Even the children pay the price. Baboina Machloikas. How terrible Machloikas is. And there's an amazing pshat in Likutei Torah of Rav Chaim Vital in Parsha Shoif. Rav Chaim Vital brings in the name of his great Rebbe Dali HaKadosh. The Medrash says, in the time of the Chorban, Chorban Abayis, Malachi Asholos came before HaKadosh Baruch when they complained, and they asked, the Rabbi Shalom, you are Mekayim, your own Torah. It is you that said, Oysa v'yez b'noi, oysa shchatu v'yoy mechor, v'loi kiyamto. Said Kiwa Melech and his children were killed the same day. Miriam, or Hannah, a Jewish mother, and her seven children perished the same day. How are you Mekayim Oysa Bezman or Oysa Shchatu B'Yomel? You are the one that said, V'shofach Hasdome V'chiso Abiyafo. And you were not Mekayim. Domo Mishpach Kamayim V'ein Koyve. You didn't even care to be Makayim Kisirata. You are the one that said, by Tumas Negoim, Vepinu Esabayis, first you take all the Baloni is out of the house, and only then does the Kayan come to be Metamed the Nega. And the Mishnah says in Masechet Nagoyim, why does the Pasuk say Vepinu Sabayis? Because if it is a negatome, at least we salvage the kalim. You didn't do the same. Malach HaShos asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bayez v'kol machmodeo oilem be'eish. Those are the terrible questions Malach HaShos asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the Medrash does not say what the Kodesh Baruch Hu answered. And maybe he didn't answer. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't owe an answer to anyone. Maybe he didn't respond. All we learn from the Medrash is what the Malachim asked. What Reb Chaim Vital brings from his great Rebbe, the Ri HaKodesh, Kodesh Baruch Hu did respond. And it's in Parsha Shoif. Ki Yevolamim Chodavo. And you won't understand. Bein down the down. That is the Shofach HaZdome B'Kisroel Ba'ol. Bein Nega L'Nega. That is the Parsha of Pinu HaSavayis, and only then Baruch HaKoyen HaSavayis. Bein Din L'Din. Those are the questions the Pasuk indicates. What is the tshuva? Divrei Rivois Bishorei. That is Ba'avoyin HaMachloikas. Because these mitzvahs are somewhat a manifestation of Rachamei Shemayim, somewhat an expression of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mercy. B'shas Machloikas, there is no Racham. Machloikas brings upon us the most terrible Midas Adin. And that was the pshat of the Ari HaKodesh, Ki Yepolam Menchudov, or Ben Dam Nedam, Ben Nega Lenega, Divrei Rivois Bishorah. How far and to what extreme do we try to run away from Machloikas? Kama, Kusha, Panchasha Machloikas. And I feel this is a very important message to convey always, and especially in our times. Kama, Kusha, Panchasha Machloikas. So how should a person act in times of Machloikas? Given Lamed Vav and additional places in Shas. And I feel maybe that's al pi drash. The beginning of our parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Voikaru v'yoda Hashem es asher loy." Rashi says, Moshe tells the Koyach, Kim ato yoch alach v'loikel ha'ele, v'ele v'loikel, ato yoch alach loikel zeh. What does that have to do? So the Gemara says, an alovim v'yenem alovim shomach aposel v'yenem eshivan aleem akos avoyim avo'o avav k'tzeis Hashem es b'gvarosai. And some darshonim give an interesting pshat. And this pshat is found in the Me'iri, Gittin Daf Lamed. Going back 6,000 years to the first days of creation, Chazal say, the Ma'oris HaGdolim were equal in their radiance, in their light. And then the Lavona came along with an argument, and he summoned the Shemesh to a Din Torah, and he said, Ein Shnei Malochim Hasham Shem B'Shkes Arechot. Two kings can't share the same crown. It's either me or him. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? L'chi v'miyat yes atzmech. How did the Shemesh respond? What did he say? Obviously he said nothing. I wasn't there, but I have a feeling if I try to imagine what happened in that Din Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and he says, who is the Toiveya? Who is the plaintiff? Yeah, plaintiff. Who is the Toiveya? So the Erech gets up and says, aye, so what's your argument? Two kings cannot share the same ground. Side of Miriam. Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to the Shemesh. What do you say? The Shemesh says, about what? He says, about his argument. The Shemesh says, I don't know what it has to do with me. I don't know why I was called to be here tonight. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, well, he says, two kings cannot share the same crown. And the Shemesh is amazed and he says, who are the kings? Does he mean me? I never saw myself as a king. I thought I'm a public servant. I'm not a king. What is he talking about? I'm a servant. I am an Eved. Well, the Navi says, V'anachnu oisim b'malocha mi'alois acham o'ad seisa kechovim. I gotta be up before Alois Hashach. And I gotta be up till after seisa kechovim. So, I never saw myself as a king. What is the guy talking about? Who are the two kings? Never occurred to me that I'm a king. And that is the ultimate king. So the Shemesh was, Nerovim v'yeinam o'ilvim. Shama chaposa v'yeinam ashimim. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He did as a Shemesh, and me as the Yareh. And that is a promise for eternity. That is what Chazal say. HaNelovim v'yeinam olim, and Shama chaposa v'yeinam ashimim. Aleim HaKosav v'yeinam v'oyavav, kitzeis HaShemesh v'gvarosoy. Because the first example we have of HaNelovim v'yeinam olim was the Shemesh. And that is the Avtocha. Aleim HaKosav v'yeinam v'oyavav, kitzeis HaShemesh v'gvarosoy. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, im atu yochal hafach boikel ha'erev, if you could once again blow up the Lavona, shot, cut down the Shemesh, then you might be successful. But it won't happen. Because for the past 6,000 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu winged us a Shemesh, b'miyat ha'zimu. So you have no chance. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach. So in times of machloikis, and I love him, and I'm all in Shom HaFos and Vayin HaMashim, and we should do our utmost to be of those Talmid HaChomim HaMarvim Sholem. Lo'im Motsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Masik Baruch Hu Yisrael Elo HaSholem. That is the greatest bracha of Klal Yisrael, and otherwise we should be Zoych HaLahar Yisrael Yisrael, and to steer clear, to run away from the terrible play of machlokes. We should deserve to chazdei shemayim and to have this kli machzik brocha liyisrael. I said many times, and maybe I said recently here, what is the concept of kli machzik brocha? What do Chazal mean in the very last passage of Masechet Uktzin in Mishnayis, the end of Shas? Le'motzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik brocha liyisrael elo l'sholem. Moshe l'amad v'doyim. So in our day and age, you go to the store and you buy bottled drinks. But it's quite obvious from the Mishnah of the Gemara, once upon a time, people came with their own vessels. And the shop owners from the barrels, you know, supplied, and everybody had to bring his own vessels, his own kankan, and his own bottles. So a guy comes into the most exclusive shop in town and he says, I have a lot of money, and I want Shemen Afarasavon and Yain HaMishumar. So the shop owner says, well, I'm more than happy to supply. But this vessel is cracked, my dear friend. You know, I don't mind to give you the most expensive stuff we have. But by the time you'll get help, you'll have nothing. So please come back with proper Kalim. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives. He wants to give. Because he loves us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pleads with us, please, don't come with cracked kelim. Come with proper kelim to be mekapel shefa eloki. All the shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us with his latmen v'chasodim. So what are the vessels we are supposed to bring? Lo'imotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik brocha liyisrael elo hasholem. And if there is no shalom amongst us, then as much shefa that comes down from the heavens, it is all lost. Nothing stays. That is the Kli Masik Baruch of Yisrael. Elo HaShalom. So we should be Zayin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yerachem Olenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Moshiach, Tzedkenu, V'yivne, Beis Mikdashenu, V'sifarteinu, V'sifarteinu.